Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I am your host, as always, Dan Canobio. We are coming off of a whirlwind weekend where we saw two fights in the lightweight division, a Saturday fight with Devin Haney and Jojo Diaz, won by Devin Haney, a Sunday night pay-per-view on Showtime, won by Gervonta Tank Davis. So this show will be very lightweight oriented, but we are coming with heavyweight analysis. Joining me on the show this week from Fight Hub TV, PBC on Fox, unofficial scorer, Marcos Villegas joins the show to break it all down. We're going to get into Haney's performance, Gervonta's performance. We're going to talk about Lomachenko fighting Comey this week, how it all shakes out, who's going to fight who. Who is the top lightweight right now? What's the top five? What fights are realistic for next year? What's going to happen behind the scenes in order for these fights to be made? What's going on between Floyd Mayweather and Canelo Alvarez? How come Floyd can't stop talking about Canelo Alvarez? All that and more with Marcos Villegas. I love this type of time in boxing that we're having. We talked about this November to remember. I beat you over the head with how many good fights we're going to get in this past November, and it's now trickled into December. This upcoming weekend is absolutely loaded. We're going to see, in addition to Lomachenko and Richard Comey, we're going to see over across the pond, we're going to see Katie Taylor making a defense of her titles. We're going to see Conor Benn fighting Chris Algieri. We're going to see Sonny Edwards defend his 112-pound title. We're going to see Bivol back in action. I'm probably forgetting some of the fights this are coming this weekend. I mean, it's absurd. You got fights of Nonito Donaire, one of the best of all time, the smaller weights, gets back into the ring. Casemiro also fights this weekend. It is a smorgasbord of fights December 11th. It's even crazier December 18th next weekend, but we'll get to that next weekend. Don't have to worry about that just yet. So a ton of fights this upcoming weekend. We just on a great run. I mean, I feel comfortable saying that boxing is in a good place. We're getting the biggest fights, not exactly the best fighting the best, but it's just one compelling week after the next. This upcoming weekend with Lomachenko. What is Lomachenko going to have to offer? What is he? He's like the wild card of 135, something that we got into in depth with Marcos on this episode. Without further ado, let's bring in Fight Hubs and Fox Sports, Marcos Villegas. It is time to bring in our guest of honor this week here on Inside Boxing Live, Marcos Villegas, PBC on Fox, unofficial scorer, creator of Fight Hub, which recently went over the 1 million subscriber mark. Very proud of the work that he has put in over the years, decade in this game. That's good stuff. Marcos, love talking boxing with you. We have a lot to talk about. How's it going, bro?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you for having me on again.
Let's get into it. You know, it's funny. We both cover the sport like on a weekly basis, right? We both day in, out. We're looking at the topics. We're looking at the headlines. And I can't remember a time where one division has really like taken over all boxing news. We got news out of the heavyweights with Fury and Dillian White. We have other news going on in boxing. But all anyone wants to talk about is the lightweight division. And I think it's because 3 weeks in a row now, four fights with the top four guys, it's the hottest division in boxing. And I made the case that like, there isn't just like one clear leader. We're going to get into that in a little bit, but just the lightweight division as a whole right now is just on a tear.
Yeah, no, it's on a tear because one, you got so many great young fighters that are coming up, some of which are undefeated and are exciting to see and have done a great job of marketing themselves. And you have the unpredictability of the division as well, which is always good in any sports when you get upsets, when you get results that you don't expect. I think it spices things up and it gets conversations going and it gets narratives going surrounding the fighters and the fights. And I think a big impetuous of this is George Kambosos and the upset that he had against Teofimo Lopez. And I think that was really the crescendo for this light division that was already heating up, because you had Teofimo, you had Gervonta, you had Ryan Garcia, and you had Devin Haney. And now you have a new figure in George Kambosos. And we can't forget either, Vasily Lomachenko is still in the mix. And I'm telling you, bro, I wouldn't be surprised, dude, if Lomachenko becomes undisputed champion again. To be, well, not again, but becomes undisputed champion, because he was one belt away from doing that. Yeah. I would not be surprised. And I think a lot of people are just writing him off completely. Now, it remains to be seen how he's going to do against Comey. Mm-hmm. But I think there's still a lot left in Lomachenko.
Yeah, he's the dark horse. He's the wild card. We're going to get to him, too. He fights this weekend. He's a guy that was the top pound for pound, still is, you know, had his great record until Teofimo knocked him off. And I think he's healthy now. I do think he is a major player in all of this. It depends on what Top Rank wants to do with him. But I always say this. You need a lot of luck in boxing, not in the ring, because I don't believe in any lucky punches and all that, outside of the ring, in terms of marketing, in terms of how things shake out. There's no schedule. It's not like any other sport where you can, you know, the best has to fight the best. The best, you know, it depends on who you sign with, who is also in that stable and all that. I would say Teofimo's very lucky because he signed with Top Rank, and I doubt that he one day thought that he would square off at with Lomachenko for all the belts. That was like a perfect storm. Kambosos got lucky. He got lucky in the sense, not in the ring. I want to make that very clear. He got lucky in the sense that his fight with Teofimo obviously got canceled, and rescheduled 5-6 times. And it ended up at the perfect time for him. He obviously had to go in there and win, which he did. But the fact that he won that first big lightweight fight, and he was able to go to Haney's fight, he was able to go to Gervonta Davis's fight. We got Lomachenko's fight this upcoming weekend. Perfect storm for Kambosos to maximize it. And on top of it, he's everywhere. You know, we're tweeting about it nonstop. The guy is everywhere. He's doing the right thing. He's put himself in a great position in 2021. I made the case last week that outside of Canelo Alvarez, there isn't a guy that's in a better position right now than Kambosos, being the network free agent, you know, having all these guys gunning for him, could potentially have a fight in his home country of Australia. Another thing we're going to get on to, but lightweight division buzzing right now. And it's weird because they're not all fighting each other. We entered this year with Ryan Garcia getting a huge win over Luke Campbell. And it, you know, he started banging the drum for Gervonta.
No. I want to say there are people that are fighting each other. It seems to be maybe there's two people that aren't fighting each other, but Devin's willing to fight anybody. We've seen that, you know,
the top four guys haven't fought each other.
They haven't, but like, Teo has shown that he's willing to fight anybody. Mm-hmm. Devin has shown he's willing to fight anybody. So.
Yeah, I get that they say that, but we still haven't seen these princes, kings, whatever you want to, every day that goes by, I think that we're seeing is that maybe these guys there aren't great, but they're very good. I think all of them have vulnerabilities. We're seeing that every week. Tank vulnerabilities, Haney vulnerabilities, Teofimo obviously vulnerabilities. Move it up to 140. I think the jury's still out on Kambosos. Has the best performance of all of them so far, unless Lomachenko ices Comey with one punch. Then maybe we'll have that debate there. But the lightweight division, even all these guys aren't all fighting each other, it's showing like kind of what you said earlier, where it's making it exciting. It's fresh. Every week we're getting a new storyline. It's great for us in the media. But let's talk about the fight that's most recent in our minds. Sunday night over on Showtime pay-per-view, Gervonta Davis eked out a decision, close decision over Isaac Cruz. I had Gervonta winning, very close, 7-5 type of fight. Obviously, his hand injury played a big role in how he fought down the stretch, which I think he got to show off a little bit of his boxing skills in the 12th round. The guy was fighting like it was like Bugs Bunny. He had one hand behind his back and he was bouncing all over the ring. I think, you know, a lot of people look at Gervonta as just this like powerful, power puncher, but he is a good boxer. And I think he showed that against a guy just like Kambosos, that and Isaac Cruz that maybe didn't know a lot about and proved that he belongs on the top level. I thought it was a good fight for Gervonta. Definitely thought that he won. But, coming out of this, how is Gervonta now positioned himself heading into the next year? And what did you think of the performance?
I thought overall the performance from Gervonta was very good. Like you mentioned, he's starting to show more of his boxing skills now. And it's not even this fight. If you looked at the fight that he had against Barrios, and you look at the fight that he had against Leo Santa Cruz, and all those fights, he mixed it up. He boxed, and then he set up his spots where he unleashed his power. Now, looking at it ringside, you know, there were a few things there that made me think like, you know, maybe this will give Gervonta a little bit of difficulties in the future with somebody who's bigger that pressures him. And it immediately made me think of Rolly. Like, okay, how would he would have handled a Rolly who's a lot bigger that would have pressed him and would have kept on him? On the flip side, I think Isaac Cruz is a little bit more defensively responsible than a Rolly Romero, given how he was fighting in the high guard in the fight, which he did a phenomenal job, did Isaac Cruz. All props to him, man, because I think a lot of people were thinking he was going to get knocked out in this fight, and the fight wouldn't make it six rounds just because of how aggressive Isaac Cruz is and how wide he throws his punches. But, you know, I thought a lot of people felt that there at the Staples that Isaac won. Like, I'm in agreement with you. Like, I thought Gervonta won two, three rounds to get the decision there. In terms of the future, I know there's a lot of fan pressure for Gervonta to fight one of the four that we listed in the beginning of this conversation, seeing, you know, who he's fought at this point, how there's not really one name that really sticks out, and seeing how hot the lightweight division is. So we hope that one of those fights does happen. I know at the post-fight press conference, they were really making it a point to call out Ryan Garcia for that fight in the future, though I don't think it's something that we'll see like in the first quarter of 2022, because I think, you know, Ryan's going to come back. They're going to want to get like a warm-up fight for him. But fingers crossed that maybe we could potentially see that fight. Who knows the status, though, of the networks for a Ryan versus Gervonta fight, but definitely in the mix with one of those guys, you know, Kambosos, Ryan, Tao, Devin. I'd love to see him and Devin, to be honest.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, that's the funny thing about this lightweight division, and I keep a pretty good eye on boxing Twitter. Take some years off my life, but I do look at it pretty frequently throughout the day, and it's like people are making the case for all these fights. Like, man, Tank versus Loma would be epic. Gervonta Davis versus Haney would be awesome. Ryan Garcia versus Tank is the fight we've been looking for over a year now. There's so many. You could Kambosos versus any of the list would be good. It's like a time where it makes you feel like, oh, I don't know exactly what to think. Like, what is the fight? Because in every other division, we can kind of figure out what is the fight. You know, 147, it's Spence and Crawford. 154, it's Castaño and Charlo. You know, Canelo, whatever weight class he settles in at, you know, there's some more debate. That's probably not the best example, but usually we know what the fight is, and we don't know what it is at 135. I guess if you want to keep it clean and you want to have one champion and you want to get rid of that whole disputed nonsense or undisputed, you can have Kambosos versus Haney. I still don't think that fight's going to happen in Australia. I kind of think that's more a second half fight. We had Lou DiBella on the show last week, and you know, he says that Kambosos' next fight will 100% be in Australia. So I think that. Just to stay online with Gervonta, you were there at the press conference afterwards. You know, Mayweather in the mix, Ellerby in the mix. I mean, I agree with the pressure aspect of what you said. It's like, oh, man, I'm tired of this debate around Gervonta Davis. You know, I think you won't find a person in boxing that doubts his in-ring abilities. But when it comes down to it, 27 years old, his best win is Pedraza, which was 4 years ago. I don't want to debate this guy's resume anymore. I think it's come to a precipice now where he has to fight one of these top guys, or his next fight has to be someone big. I understand the business side of it. And I think more fans are starting to see how the business works. If Haney's getting a lot of money from Matchroom, doesn't necessarily line up to what his worth is, other guys as well. But it comes to the point where how is Gervonta going to go out against another Rolly type of fighter or another? I mean, Isaac Cruz proved to be pretty good, but you know what I mean? Like another not marquee name. How does he potentially do that? I get he's going to sell out the arena. I get people will buy the pay-per-view, but at a certain point, doesn't he have to face the very, very top fighters?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's any fighter in any category at any point when they get to a certain point in their career. But I Tank versus Rolly, you know, regardless of what maybe a boxing insider would think, you know, that fight was actually getting a lot of traction from fans. Like,
I wouldn't be surprised if it's next, Marcos.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either if, you know, Rolly, well, let's see what happens with that whole situation.
Right.
That
I saw Coppinger tweeted that no charges have been filed. Obviously, yeah. Everything has to come through there. I mean, well, let's be very clear here. If even one of these women is what she's saying is true, then he should not be rewarded with a big fight. But if he gets cleared, I would not be shocked if that's not the next one for Gervonta.
No, I wouldn't be either. And you know that I think at the end of the day, like the appeal of Tank, regardless of who he fights. And I think the reason why people rock with him and like Tank is he beats the crap out of people. And let's plain and simple, like it's not that hard to like be loved by fans. OK, like it's if you go out there and you beat the crap out of your opponents and you knock them out, you're going to get fans from all over the place and they're going to love you. And Tank is that guy. Like, you know, look at his record. He has almost all knockouts except for this last one and one before, you know, it's the same thing that the same hype that we saw behind Gennady Golovkin when he was on his knockout streak. Mike Tyson, people love fighters that knock people out. And that's the appeal of Tank. So I think whenever he steps in the ring, that's why people are there because they know Tank doesn't mess around. Tank's there to get business done.
You were there Sunday. So what I would say is like Tank has like his fights feel like an event. Like they feel has a different feel. The arenas are full. There are, if you care about this, there are celebrities there. You know, Haney's fight, big fight, but it didn't have that same type of feel around it. I do agree that the Haney one probably had a little more eyeballs because it was probably a better matchup, but it ended up being Tank's fight, which was a better fight because Isaac Cruz put forth a better performance. I don't know, man. It's tough because you have Ellerby and Mayweather, you know, kind of saying like, why isn't Tank in the top 10? But on the other hand, they're also not willing to put him in there. You can't really have it both ways.
Yeah, you can't have the guy in the top 10 if he's not fighting guys that are like ranked top 10 in his division.
Right. He has top 10
or
skills.
At least top five.
Right.
He has pound for pound skills. The more I see Tank fight, the more I'm starting to see that he's just as good as what Leonard and Floyd have been saying. Like he's starting to show those dimensions that I didn't really get to see before earlier in his career. And I'm starting to see like, oh, okay. I didn't know he could do this. Oh, okay. He handled this well. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting to see it. Like they're starting to make me a believer in him because before when they would say like him and Lomachenko, I'd be like, no, there's no way he's going to be competitive in that fight with Lomachenko. But you know, now with time and seeing how Lomachenko did against Teo, given the size and just the big punch of Gervonta and all these guys, you know, I'm starting to be a believer in Gervonta's skills. Like, even though I don't think he's fully shown all those skills yet, we're starting to see little peaks of those skills. And I think, you know, Leonard and Floyd speak with perspective because they've seen him in the gym display the skills that we haven't seen him display in fights, but I think those skills will get displayed in the fights with those guys that we mentioned.
Yeah, he was so quick. That check left uppercut is a thing of beauty. He's got a quick right hook now too. He jabbed well.
His timing with those uppercuts.
Good. Yeah, timing is. I mean, the kid's ferocious. I love watching him fight. He's like one of my favorite fighters to watch fight. I want to see him in a big one. Him versus Ryan Garcia. I've been saying it forever. That's the biggest.
I think that's the
fight.
Yeah, it is at 135. That I think is the biggest fight. Gervonta versus
that's like a Super Bowl type
Ryan,
of thing. Like
I think you know
the world, the houses, the highlights, those accounts will converge and it will be a massive event. And if you're Mayweather Promotions, I've said this for a while now, if it is a no-brainer type of fight for them, you have a guy by Canelo's own admission, and Ryan Garcia, that's not 100% committed to the sport. Yet is still very popular and probably provides or definitely provides the biggest monetary upside of any of the other contemporaries out there. So it's a winnable fight. It's going to create the most money. It just depends on Ryan Garcia. He's got to be active. He has to fight in 2021. He has to show that he's committed. He has to, you know, he can talk all he wants on Twitter and he can tweet, you know, nonstop, but I mean, he's got to fight for, I don't think they're going to rush into that one just yet. Let's move over to Devin Haney, JoJo Diaz, Saturday night over on DAZN. I said this afterwards, Marcos, to see if you agree with me. I thought it was a solid, solid prize fight, not a great fight. And I also thought Haney does a lot of things good, but not one thing great. Like his jab is good. Like his defense is sound. Like he's got good placement, decent power, but doesn't have like that one thing that separates him from the
rest. Yeah. That's what I was going to get to right now. He doesn't have that one thing that you look at and be like, oh, how is this guy going to deal with this? Mm-hmm. I think maybe that one thing could be, you know, his ring IQ, the way he approaches a fight and how he's able to game plan for a fight and execute that. Maybe that can be the one thing that over time we start seeing, because, you know, he executed the plan very, very well. There were spots in that fight where he was uncomfortable, where he got clipped clean by JoJo Diaz. But I think the thing on JoJo's part is just he wasn't able to let his hands go. He wasn't able to really consistently mount his offense to get those rounds back that in those back and because there was a lot of swing rounds in that fight. And I feel that Devin landed the more clear shots to the face, but no, this, you know, look at the last two fights that Devin's had. Jorge Linares, three division world champion, probably going to go in the Hall of Fame. And now JoJo Diaz, a solid, solid guy.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Now
had the best year.
Yeah, he's starting to build a heck of a resume now. Yeah, with the last fighters he's fought.
He had the best year of his guys around his age. It was going to be Ryan Garcia with Luke and JoJo, but obviously he pulled out. Gervonta, you can make a case now too. He has two pretty good wins. Barrios, whatever you think about Barrios, but the fact that he beat 140 pounder, knocked him out, and then beat Isaac Cruz, who we think now is better than he is, and Tio only fought once. I mean, Haney is testing himself. I love that about him. And if you read our friend Corey Erdman's story, is a guy that is like so self-aware and wants to like know what he did wrong after every fight. He's willing to bring in different voices. I brought in Mike McCallum to work on body shots. I thought that paid off in this fight. I think it was 71 of his 164 landed punches, Haney, were to the body. I thought that was the biggest difference in this fight. That's showing a new wrinkle. I mean, he's very sound. He's very good, but, you know, he's not a huge ticket seller. You saw that on Saturday night. He's getting paid very handsomely by Matchroom, but I'm not exactly sure it adds up to what he is worth. You know, that's the type of thing that we see in boxing all the time. It's like, if you put these guys out on the open market, you would see a lot different than what they're getting paid. The reason I bring that up, because I'm not always 100% into that part of the game, but it's important and how these fights are going to be made, especially if we want to see Haney fight, you know, a Tank. You know, they're very interested, Tank side, in making sure it makes sense. You know, we're not going to overpay Haney. Just because Haney's getting paid a lot by Matchroom doesn't mean we're going to overpay him to fight a Tank. But I thought it was a good performance. I thought he did what he had to do. And yes, I feel like the one knock on him is his chin, but he did get clipped a few times against JoJo, but then he finished the fight a lot stronger than he finished the fight against Linares.
Yeah, well, Linares clipped him good.
Yeah,
and you know, JoJo, even though he packs a good solid punch, he's never been an explosive KO type guy, and Jorge has those explosive features given how fast he is as well. So there is still that question about how is he going to handle a guy that has a lot of pop, who's young and explosive. It remains to be seen at this point in his career. But I think overall, you know, Haney's just solid, just a solid guy, solid guy.
I agree. Solid. Very good. You know, he says the right things, you know, afterwards. Him and Cambosos.
Though, to be honest, I wish he would talk a little bit more ish, because I see it in him. I see it in him. And I feel if he mixed it up, made things a little bit spicier, maybe his profile will grow a little bit more. But, you know, it's all good if he doesn't want to go that route. I prefer him to be real than to be fake and create some sort of fake persona around him.
Well, he just posted something this week with, you know, he's adding more chains. And all the people are like, hey, save your money, do this, that, and the other. You know, he's grown into it. It's only 23.
He's a young kid, man. We all bought stuff like that when we were 20. Imagine having all that money at 23.
Oh, man, when I was 23 and I had a wad of cash in my pocket from working, I just bought like New Era hats and Air Force Ones. And this guy's buying chains, flying on private jets. He's only 23 and he's proving he's improving every time he steps in the ring. And
well, he's earned it.
Absolutely. He's got one of the more interesting come ups with his dad, you know, kind of being his own promoter, fighting at age 17 in Vegas. And he's 23, but he's like a veteran, but he's also still learning now, especially as he steps into the elite level. Love watching him fight too. Now with his upcoming future, it seems like he's narrowed in on Kambosos. Says he'd go to Australia. These guys say this stuff afterwards, but like we said earlier, having Lou on the show last week and talking to him, you know, behind the scenes, is Kambosos is going to fight. I think his next fight will be in Australia. I honestly think he deserves a top 15 type of defense for his hometown fans. And then you could circle back to the best option out there. If Haney doesn't get Kambosos, I don't know what Haney does next. I mean, I'm sure he has some type of mandatory.
I'm sure they'll come up with an opponent for Devin. Obviously, the fight to make, they were pushing it after the broadcast. They brought in Devin and Kambosos so they could have, you know, the little
like a face
meetup that they had. The fight to make is the undisputed fight. Now, whether they're going to go into it in Australia, I honestly do think that Devin is more than willing to go to Australia to face Kambosos. Mm-hmm. But if they want to go ahead and do that, if they kind of want to milk this out, George doesn't seem like a guy that he just wants like whatever fights as well. You know, in talking with him, it sounds like he doesn't want to mess around. He wants to go right into it as well. Now,
don't you think the adrenaline is just like still pumping for this guy? I mean, it's a
I think that's how he really is, to be honest.
But what meaning, like, this is pure speculation, but let's just say he gets home, holidays, there's no more cameras on him every single day. A couple of weeks go past and his team comes to him and it's like, hey, listen, you're getting crazy money right now, offers to fight blah, 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 who's not one of the top guys. You can do it here, you know, get a huge crowd, and then we can go into a 2022 fight. I mean, we've seen how this business works. Would you be shocked?
Well, it's going to be either this. It's going to be something like that, or the mandatories are going to start piling up and they're going to have to make a decision. Like, hey, do we go? They're going to have their hand forced. Either – yeah. You're going to have to relinquish some of the belts in order to get the money fights, mm-hmm. or you're going to have to go through these mandatories. So if he gets a mandatory thrown on him, maybe that could be the next fight in Australia. And then after that, he'll have an option of going into a big fight. But he's, you know, we've seen it time and time again with fighters that are or become unified champions or undisputed champions, that they only have a small window to get the fight that we want them to see, because then the mandatory is going to start piling up. I think the best example is Klitschko, when he had all the belts and he was just going through mandatory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that was boring. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. The Klitschko reign was not good. He did what he had to do, knocked everyone out. He wanted to keep all those ones, but George just hit the lottery. I mean, he's in a very good spot. So, I mean, I'd love to see Haney fight him next. I'm just being like cautiously optimistic as a
I got a weird feeling, and I don't know. Sometimes I'm on these things, sometimes I'm not. I have a weird feeling if Lomachenko beats Comey, that's going to be the next fight. Right, Lomachenko versus Kambosos.
They could do that. I mean, ESPN, I mean, it's going to depend on who presents the best deal to Peter Kahn and Lou DiBella. Listen, ESPN could say, we want this fight badly. We want this to be an ESPN pay-per-view. Lomachenko is known across the world. That fight makes sense in Australia because it has an international feel.
Pay-per-view,
and then George will have two more appearances on ESPN after it. It's a three-fight deal. That's what it's going to come down to. Who's going to offer the best thing? Matchroom is going to offer Haney, and they're going to offer Lou DAZN, and then Lou can maybe potentially ask for more fighters on his stable to appear on DAZN or ESPN. That's what it's going to come down to. So those talks are happening as we speak about Kambosos. He is the guy. People are licking their chops. You got Shakur Stevenson at not even his weight class is looking to fight Kambosos, because I think a lot of guys look at him as like a beatable as beatable, number one, Kambosos, and a way to have all the belts, and especially lucrative too, because with the whole country behind him in Australia. Oh man, this is good stuff, Marcos. Let's talk about the lightweight division as a whole, my friend. Who is your top five right now? I'm going to put you on the spot. I'll give you mine first. I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Kambosos number one, just because he's got all the belts. He's got the best performance so far. Two and three is interchangeable for me. Loma, Tank. I think those two, I think Loma with his pedigree. Obviously, I think he's healthy now. Tank, I think, is the most explosive, has the best power, the freshest. And then you got Haney at four. And then just for the sake of it, I'm putting Ryan Garcia at number five.
Top five at 135 pounds. Obviously, George Kambosos, number one, because he just beat the number one who beat the number one. So I don't think there's any argument there. He's the top lightweight in the world, and he's proved it. Number two is where things get interesting. You picked Lomachenko. I could see you picked Lomachenko, right?
Yeah, Loma at two.
Loma too. And I could see that because of the skills that Loma has. I'm going to wait to crown him two. Mm-hmm. Not crown him, but put him two to see how he looks like against Comey. Call me crazy. I'm putting Tank number two.
That's not in crazy that
because
at all.
because honestly, I think in a fight between him and Devin, I favor Tank just a little bit. In a fight between him and Ryan, I favor Tank. In a fight between Kambosos, that's a good one, but I think a lot of people would favor Tank. So I put him at number two. Number three, I would put Lomachenko. Number four, I would put Devin, and then number five, I would put Ryan. And the reason why I'm not even including Teofimo in that is because he's not fighting at 135 pounds anymore. He's moving up to 140 pounds.
Right. And then you got the second half, you know, William Cepeda, I think, is a guy under the Golden Boys. Yeah. Like, dude's a beast. And Isaac Cruz belongs in this discussion, like a top 10 discussion.
Top 10 for sure.
Right. I'm sure there's other, like JoJo, if he wants to stay at 135, is probably
top 10 as well. JoJo. Jorge's still in there. Top 10.
Linares deserves to be in there for what he's done in his career. It's a loaded division. I mean, it's jam packed. You can make a case for all these guys to fight each other. You can make for all these cases of who should be the favorite. I would not be like you said, with Tank. Like Tank.
Yeah. Well, people would say like, no way, Marcos. Like, Lomachenko's way more skilled than Tank. He's shown this and that, but it's like when you look at overall, like Tank, like the power and what he's been showing in these fights and seeing how some of these guys have reacted to guys that have a good punch. Mm-hmm. It makes you wonder, like, if Tank cracks these guys, how are they going to react? And I don't think they're going to react very well if Tank cracks them cleanly.
Well, think about Loma, and let's get to Loma right now. Loma versus Comey this Saturday on HBO. The thing with Loma
HBO,
is,
come on, bro. You're in nostalgia land.
Holy crud. What did I get that from? I wish it was on HBO. It's on ESPN. The thing with Lomachenko is, I mean, he's north of 30, two shoulder surgeries now, and then 300-plus amateur fights. And, yes, he looked great against Nakatani. That was a fight for him to look great. Landed 60% of his punches. I mean, it was just, he teed off on Nakatani and he looked great. We have to reserve all judgments on Lomachenko until we see versus Comey. I think Comey is a guy that definitely belongs in this top 10 lightweight discussion as well. He's towards the back, but he's damn good. I mean, Comey's got a massive right hand. He's looking to make another upset here in the year of the upset in 2021. I think Lomachenko is the wild card in this whole discussion because of his name recognition, his popularity, and he could still fight. But how much does he have left? We're going to see that Saturday night.
Yeah, it's really that. It's how much does he have left? How much wear and tear does he have? I think the loss to Lopez has really fueled him, and people doubting him have really fueled him and really gotten that fire lit up on him when maybe, you know, he was beating guys earlier so easily that he was just kind of like, yeah, this is too easy for me, and he was getting bored. Now it's not like that anymore. But also, he's in a division where everyone's a lot bigger than him. And you know, 135 has not been the easiest thing for Vasily Lomachenko because these guys can take his punch a lot better. They're a lot bigger. They can pressure him. And Comey is another guy that I feel is going to be a good test for him to see where he's at. We thought the same thing with Nakatani. Nakatani could take a punch. He had a great fight with Teofimo Lopez. If there's one guy that's going to test Lomachenko, it's going to be him. And look what Lomachenko did to him. So let's see if Lomachenko can have another Nakatani type performance, another vintage Lomachenko type performance against another solid guy like a Richard Comey, who's going to come forward, who's a big, big puncher and is really going to put it on Lomachenko when he can.
This was supposed to be the fight. Remember a few years ago before Tio.
Yeah.
I think it was Loma got hurt Comey got hurt, broke his hand. This was supposed to be the undisputed fight. That's just how quickly things can change in boxing. It was supposed to be Loma versus Comey for all the belts. Comey gets hurt. Lomachenko, Teofimo jumps in, knocks out Comey. Then he fights Lomachenko. But the one thing that I'm happy that Lomachenko's back in this discussion. He's like forgotten about, because of that one loss. And it's something that we've always talked about, Marcos. It's like, one loss shouldn't, he's got two losses, but one loss shouldn't mean like that you're out of the discussion, especially when you're on the elite level. Look at this. Number one, he ranks in lightweight in plus minus. That's hit and don't get hit. That's plus 17.6. And that's number two in all of boxing as a whole. 47.
Who's number one?
Bivol. But wow. You can make a case that Lomachenko should be ahead of him just off of activity. 47.7 power connect rate. If you get around over 40, you're damn good. Close to 50, it's just absurd. 36.4 overall connect rate, which is damn good, and 7 jabs landed per round. Those are all number one at 135. The guy has been in this division for he's been at 130, but he's the elder statesman of this whole discussion at lightweight, and I want to see what he's got this upcoming week. And this is the beauty of it. Like we talked at the top of this discussion is, when have we had a run like this where we can just on the fly, just like rate these guys in like real time. And then it ends with Lomachenko this weekend to see what he's fully got in a tough test. But the thing with Loma is he's been saying, I want to be undisputed at 135. I want to be undisputed. That's his thing. Just like Canelo. Like when these guys say what they want to do, they're very goal oriented. This is what I want to do. Then you have Bob Arum out of nowhere, Shakur Stevenson versus Loma. That's obviously the politics. That's the top rank ESPN, injection in all of this. So obviously we all want to see Loma versus some of these young guns at 135, but he might strike out and then they might pivot to Stevenson at 135.
Yeah, I could see that. It's an in-house fight. It's easy to make. I think Shakur really had a spectacular performance against Jermell Herring in his last fight. And I think that fight really opened a lot of people's eyes that maybe had a negative opinion of how Shakur fights, because he was getting criticized a lot for being a boring fighter. Mm-hmm. And in this fight, he showed when he wants to turn it on, he could turn it on. And that was just a masterclass on his part. And he really showed that he can be an entertaining fighter. And I think there's a lot of appeal there for both. Shakur is going to be a guy who's going to be in the pound for pound discussion in the next few years. And he has the skills. He's shown that he's very, very versatile. He's a lot better than what people thought he is. And I think the Jermell Herring opened people's eyes to guy is a lot better than what we thought he is.
That was a virtuoso performance. I loved every second of it. I mean, he really turned the
he made me sold. Like, honestly, if he were to move to 135, like, he's up there, number one, number two. Like, because of the skills that he has.
Mm-hmm. Sustainable, I think, skills.
The Jermell Herring fight is really showed it. Like, if he wants to be offensive, he's going to cause – he's going to run me these guys.
He's always in range. Stevenson's got great jab and he's got the best defense. I mean, that he can really, I mean, he win any fight with those things. I mean, those are the three things that, I mean, sometimes it's not the most exciting and that's been the knock on him, but I think he showed in his last fight placement. He might not have all the power, but he just beat Herring down with placement. Yeah. And that's something that Haney has too. Like, Haney makes up for his lack of power with perfect placement. And I think Stevenson's the same way. Like, I'm not going to be upset if it ends up being Lomachenko Stevenson. I think that would be an awesome fight. And I'm sure Lomachenko will get paid handsomely. It's interesting to see what happens next. It all depends on if Loma pushes Top Rank to make these fights with the other champs.
I want to see the undisputed fight with Kambosos.
Haney?
But in order for that to happen. And then Lomachenko. I'm happy Actually, I'm happy with Kambosos Lomachenko. I think that's a tremendous freaking fight.
Huge fight. And Lou brought it up last week. You know, he said,
I love that fight, man. I like that maybe more than any of them.
It's got a lot going for it. I mean, it's a huge international fight. I think one thing we've learned that boxing is not just, you know, relegated to just the U.S. This is a worldwide sport. Put that in Australia. I mean, everyone knows Lomachenko. He's known across the whole world. He's got the pedigree. I mean, this guy was top 5 pound for pound for years. Number one, people had him for years. First Kambosos, you know, two smaller guys at 135. I mean, that fight has everything. That's the beauty of this. I think to put a bow on it all, this 135 is like, you know, we just threw out like so many fights and they're all good.
But this is why it's exciting, because exactly, some of these guys are now fighting each other, willing to fight each other. And I think this should be an example to everybody, every fighter in every division, that just fight the guys we want to see you fight, because regardless of win or lose, mm-hmm, we're still going to want to see you fight again. And you're going to get paid a lot of money still, because people want to see you fight. Yep. As long as people want to see you fight, you're going to make a lot of money.
Right. I think we're slowly getting away from, you have to have a zero.
Yeah. I hope that goes away forever, because that shouldn't even be a thing. Like, if you look at the fighters up until Floyd, like, it wasn't a big deal. Like, okay, yeah, they lost. We still want to see him again because they're a badass fighter. That's why we want to see, because this guy puts on amazing fights. Exciting. Look at Gabe Rosado. People want to see him fight all the time because he puts on badass fights.
Got 13 losses, but
yeah,
he was in a main event against Munguia. Showcase. You're right. I think we're slowly getting away from it. Bring Floyd into this discussion here, man. Wow. He has been on the offensive lately when it comes to Canelo. A lot of times he's asked, you're in these scrums all the time, he's asked about Canelo, but I feel like Sunday night he was just out of nowhere, unprompted, went in on Canelo. And we've seen Floyd do this a lot. He did it with Pacquiao when Pacquiao went on to, you know, fight after Floyd retired, when he beat Thurman, when he beat Broner. You could just tell that this types of stuff annoys Floyd, because yes, he's probably going to the best of this past generation. I mean, it's no doubt he was undefeated, but it seems like Pacquiao and now Canelo are, I wouldn't say more respected, but they have something different that I don't think Floyd didn't even want that. You know, he just wanted to make the most and be the villain. But now he's seeing Canelo, despite the fact that Floyd beat him, getting so much praise for jumping up weights and doing historic things, that it just bothers him. I truly feel that. Do you feel the same way?
Hey, you could be right, you know, but I don't know. Like, Floyd's so smart in terms of generating interest, mm-hmm, and he knows what he's doing when he says some of these things. And I really think it's to kind of just stir the pot, because he knows, he says something about Canelo, he knows it's going to get a lot of clicks, a lot of views. And I just always remember Floyd saying to us, like, throughout his career, doesn't matter if you talk good about me, it doesn't matter if you talk bad about me, as long as you talk about me.
Yep.
And he's keeping his name relevant still, and you know, his fighter Gervonta as well. So a part of me thinks it's more that he knows this is going to ruffle feathers. He knows these clips are going to go viral. He knows it's going to help promote his brand, his fighter's brand, his events brand. You know, I think, I don't know, maybe he could be right, but a guy that's as accomplished as Floyd has made the money that he's made, I like to think he doesn't give a crap about any of that, to be honest.
Yeah. Tyson said it a few years back. He said that, like, he has to have, like, bodyguards with him to go pick up his daughter from school. Like, that's not the people's champion. And it's just like a little knock on Floyd's got everything. He's got the money. He's got the fame. He's got the accolades. He's the best of our division, 100%. But I think it gets under his skin a little bit when Canelo's even mentioned in the same breath as him, or Pacquiao's mentioned in the same breath of him. Pacquiao, 7 losses. He beat Pacquiao. Canelo, he beat Canelo. He just has to remind everyone. It's just like competitive spirit. I that's part of it. And like you said,
I could see that. The competitiveness,
spirit, ego, and him wanting to be in the limelight and knowing the ultimate marketability guy. I mean, the guy was you can't deny that. It's interesting. It's good for the world that you're into with putting this stuff on YouTube. It's gold every time Mayweather talks. It ruffles people's feathers, but you shouldn't take it too damn serious. This Thursday, though, Boxing Writers Association dinner, my dad's getting an award, but Floyd and Canelo are going to be there. They're expected to be in the same room. Jeez. I'm going to have my cameras rolling. I talked to a few of the organizers. They're like keeping them on like, it's like a wedding when you have like one side of the family that doesn't get along. They're on opposite ends this Thursday.
That's going to be interesting. It's like a, like reality show type stuff there. But you know what? I bet you anything they'll go and they'll say what's up to each other. They'll shake each other's hands and, you know.
Hell of a fighter.
Yeah. We'll call him a young, hungry champ or a young, hungry lion, you know.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that all plays out. But you're right. There's always trickles down to Tank with Floyd, and he's got one. He's got a good one. Lightweight division on fire. Boxing on fire. I say this every week on this show, but actually, this is true, man. We're in a great stretch. November was awesome. This upcoming weekend, there's fights around the clock. Next year, I think we're going to have some big ones, too. I think Tyson Fury, Dillian White, and we can get Tyson Fury, Joshua. I think it all starts with them, the heavyweights, and it all trickles down. Maybe Spence Crawford. Man, there's so many good stuff going on in boxing. I actually feel confident saying that. Appreciate the time, Marcos. Everyone go follow, subscribe to Fight Hub. Let's get him to 2 million by the end of next year. How about that?
Yeah, there we go.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
Okay, special thanks to Marcos Villegas for joining us here on Inside Boxing Live. Love his insights. The guy has good scorecards. How many times have we seen bad scorecards in boxing? We just saw it this past weekend. You know, one of these judges had Gervonta Davis losing the 12th round. I haven't actually had Cruz winning a clean sweep from rounds 8 through 12 when Cruz threw fight low and landed fight low in round 12, but she still gave Cruz the round in round 12. See, so much bad judging, and I think Marcos is one of the best unofficial scorers we got in the game right now. Love talking boxing with him. This upcoming week, on Thursday night, the Boxing Writers Association will be giving out their Fighter of the Year awards, their Fighter of the Decade. Fighter of the Year just happens to be from last year, Canelo Alvarez, and Fighter of the Decade, Floyd Mayweather. They're both going to be in the same room on Thursday night. I'll be there in attendance because the Long and Meritus Award, basically the Lifetime Achievement Award, is going to my dad, Bob Canobio, the creator of CompuBox, who obviously is very dear to me and is very dear to our family, a guy that is likes to be behind the scenes. But for the last close to 40 years now, CompuBox, over 35 years of existence, he's been around the boxing game for close to 40 years. This guy lives, eats, and breathes boxing, and on a personal level, means so much to me in my life, in my career, and my entire family. You know, I'm one of five. All four of my siblings have went on to college. They all have kids now, seven grandkids. And it's all because of my dad and all the hard work and my mom as well. But, starting CompuBox in the mid 80s. And the guy has literally seen almost every punch thrown and landed since 1985. He's been there for so many great moments in Mike Tyson's career. Go up and down all the great heavyweight fights in the 80s. Hagler Hearns right behind me. That was the fourth fight in the history of CompuBox. He was there. Go through the 90s, go through with Floyd and De La Hoya, and now through the 2000s with this era that we're in now. And it's been a great run. And I know how much boxing means to him. So I'm happy that he's getting credit. I'm happy that he gets his moment to shine on Thursday night with the Boxing Writers Association. They do a great job. So shout out to Bob Canobio for his long emeritus service to boxing. And he's a special person to me, and he should be celebrated. That's a wrap for this week. We'll see you next week on Inside Boxing Live.